605-6245.
Pastor David Whitney, but until we get him, I thought I'd talk about the things that really concern me. You know, it's an unfortunate situation. Most Americans aren't aware of it, but we are on the verge of World War III. The people who control the Bush administration, and believe me, President Bush is not in charge, he is simply a figurehead for the powerful men who work behind the scenes, but we are on the verge of going to war with Iran. And if you read the things that are being said, you know, they insist that, oh, Iran is going to have nuclear weapons any time. Oh, they're going to have them in a few months. They're going to threaten Israel. They're going to threaten the peace of the world. Iran can't have nuclear weapons. And does that sound sort of familiar? You remember what they were saying before we had to go to war with Iraq? The New York Times wrote recently, some senior Bush administration officials and top Republican lawmakers are voicing anger that American spy agencies have not issued more ominous warnings about the threats that they say Iran presents to the United States. Some policymakers have accused intelligence agencies of playing down Iran's role in Hezbollah's recent attacks against Israel and overestimating the time it would take for Iran to build a nuclear weapon. They echo the tension that divided the administration and the Central Intelligence Agency during the prelude to the war in Iraq. Paul Craig Roberts is certainly one of my favorite columnists. He was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury during the Reagan administration, and he wrote recently, alarmed by the new conservative drive to start a war with Iran because the U.S. can extricate itself, or before the UN could extricate itself from the Iraq catastrophe, the CIA firmly declared that any Iranian nuclear weapons is a decade away. This undermines the neoconservatives' urgency to attack Iran now. Neoconservative fanatics tried to discredit the CIA with a recent report by the House Intelligence Committee Republican staff written by neoconservative Frederick Flights, a neocon heavyweight. Now, John Bolton, a person and active in concocting the false case for war against Iraq, and Fights alleges that the CIA is a know-nothing agency that lacks the ability to assess Iran's ability to make nuclear weapons. Neocons also dismissed the findings of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which issued a report on August 31st reaffirming that there is no tangible proof that Iran's nuclear energy program has a military aspect. So, basically, based upon conjecture and lies and deceit, they want to take us into a war with Iran, which doesn't make sense because if we go to war with Iran, we're going to expand the war in the Middle East. We can't even win the war in Iraq. We don't have the troops or the personnel or the equipment to do it. And now we want to expand the war into Iran. And of course, if we do that, the only thing we can do would be use conventional or nuclear weapons. And if we do use nuclear weapons, we'll antagonize Russia and China and possibly even bring about a nuclear war. None of this makes sense. If we expand the war, we're going to bankrupt America. Even today, we are having to borrow $3 billion a day just to keep our government running. $3 billion every single day we have to get other people to put into our country. And with the dollar falling, how long do you think other central banks and other nations are going to continue investing in America when the dollars they get back when the loans are repaid are worth less than when they put them over here? No, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on today doesn't make any sense unless you understand there is a long-term plan. And nobody today wants to talk about how the CIA brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power and the radical mullahs to power in Iran in 1979. And you've heard me say this before? and you're going to hear me say it again. In 1979, I remember it very well, and it didn't make any sense. And why would we topple an ally? Why would we topple an ally and bring an enemy to power? It didn't make any sense in 1979, unless you understand there is long-term planning by an invisible government that wants to plunge America at this time in history into World War III and destroy this nation and perhaps even bring nuclear retaliation against this country. And where is the outcry from our political leaders? And where is the outcry from our spiritual leaders? And it's deafening and it's silent. Well, with that as a background, we understand we have Pastor David Whitney on the line. David, are you there?
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Stan, for having me. My apologies for running late this morning.
Oh, well, that's happened all the time. You usually are so punctual. Why?
The crisis you're talking about is simply because the American people have forgotten that the rule of law in our land is not what some president says it is, or even what the Supreme Court claims it is, or what some congressman, senator, or whatever. The rule of law is the supreme law of the land. And last time we were together, we talked about Article 6 of our Constitution and Article 5 as well. And it's very clear in Article 6 that the supreme law of the land of these United States is the United States Constitution, which of course means any law made which is in violation of the supreme law of the land is null and void. It's not law at all. Because the American people don't know the Constitution, the result is that they allow their elected officials to get away with violating that Constitution. And there's no consequences. They're not removed from office. They're not impeached. Nothing happens to them. But if the American people would study and learn and master the details of this Constitution and then hold their elected officials accountable to the terms of this contract that we the people have formed with our federal government, we would hold them to the terms of this contract, we could bring America back to sanity, really, and these crazy things that are going on that are moving us at a very, very rapid pace towards the New World Order. Well, we've covered both Articles 1 through 6, and let's step into looking at Article 7 of our Constitution. Now, Article 7 speaks about the ratification of the Constitution. You'll recall Article 1 deals with the legislature, Article 2, the executive branch, Article 3 addresses the judiciary. Article 4 talks about the relations among the states, Article 5, Amendment, and Article 6, General Matters.
We'll be back in just a moment here with David Whitney from the Institute for the Constitution.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests, reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Hi, I'm Ann Johnson, owner of Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mental alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, stepping into the Article 7, which deals with the ratification of the Constitution, a decision was made that when nine states ratified the Constitution would become the supreme law of the land. Now, there's an interesting little debate about this, because when the Articles of Confederation were ratified, those Articles of Confederation said that all 13 states had to ratify any changes, any amendments to the Articles of Confederation. Of course, we know that initially the reason for the Constitutional Convention was to modify or to alter the Articles of Confederation. But right from the start, the founders knew that they had an impossible task on their hands, because Rhode Island never showed up. That is, of the 13 states, one was never represented in the Constitutional Convention. And they would never get a 13 states to agree to amend any aspect of the Articles of Confederation, which is why James Madison led in the direction of saying, let's create basically a constitution. Let's not just amend, but make a vast number of changes. And so, still, those who would like to argue, well, then the Constitution wasn't properly enacted because the existing 13 states didn't all sign on. Only 9 states did. Well, that's not true. Ultimately, even Rhode Island, all 13 states ratified the Constitution. So in a sense, the requirements of the Articles of Confederation to be altered or amended was ultimately met by all 13 states ratifying the Constitution. And the founders proposed this different means because they were pretty certain that Rhode Island would never participate, and possibly some other states would not participate as well. Now, they approved a means, Congress approved a means for ratifications that each state would ratify it by their own constitutional convention, and the Constitution would become effective when ratified by the first 9 states, and the 9th state to ratify it happens to be New Hampshire in June 21st in 1788. North Carolina didn't ratify until November 21st of 1789. In Rhode Island, it wasn't until 1790, May 29th of 1790, that Rhode Island actually signed on and ratified the Constitution. So in a sense, up until 1790, you could say Rhode Island was sort of its own state or its own country. It hadn't really joined the Constitution and hadn't therefore joined into the federal government. The important thing to remember here, then, is that each state independently chose whether it was going to be part of this new constitution or whether it was not going to be part of this new constitution. The states, as sovereign entities on their own, made the decision whether they were coming in or were not coming in. Rhode Island could have stayed out of it altogether and said, no, we're going to abide by the former agreement, the Articles of Confederation, or not have anything to do with the Constitution. They decided it was in their best interest as a state to actually do join the Constitution. The reason I'm bringing this up is that many people misunderstand what took place in the secession from these United States by the Southern states. And when they seceded, they were undoing the decision they had made in joining in. In other words, they voluntarily joined in this union. Therefore, they could also voluntarily unjoin, secede from this union. And this was a common understanding among all of the states, that secession was permissible because each state was its own sovereign entity. Each state participated in the union by choice, not by force. And actually, every new state that joined the union, first they would be a territory, and we've talked about that process of a territory becoming a state when we looked at Article 4, But each state voluntarily joined the Union and made that decision. And the southern states that seceded were saying, just as we voluntarily joined this Union, we can voluntarily secede from this Union. What many people don't know, and it's been lost in the details of history for most folks, is that it wasn't just the southern states that talked about actually seceding from the Union. There was a time in which New England, a little bit earlier than the southern states, a little bit earlier in the 19th century, the New England states talked about seceding from the Union. They weren't happy with what was happening in terms of the power represented by the southern states in Congress and so forth. There was a number of disagreements. They actually met in Connecticut to vote on secession, and the vote failed. That is, not enough of the states were in agreement. There wasn't enough unanimity for them to secede from the Union, so no state actually moved forward with that. But there was talk of that. And, of course, in the Middle Atlantic states, there was also talk at one point in time, before the Southern secession, there was talk of seceding from the Union as well, although they actually never met in a convention as the New England states did. The reason I bring this up is that the lie that has been propounded among people today as a result of what President Lincoln purported and what the result basically of war between the states, or as some like to call it, the war of northern aggression, or others, and I agree with this statement the best, that it's the second war for American independence, the one we lost. Well, whatever you call it, after that war, it became the opinion, not fact, the opinion of most Americans that secession was not permissible for any state. Basically, because from my point of view, Lincoln said, yeah, you can only secede from this Union in a body bag. We'll kill you if you try to do it. And so after that point in time, all talk of secession has ceased. And yet, constitutionally speaking and historically speaking, the states are the ones that created the federal union. The states are the ones that entered into voluntarily into this union, and the states retain their sovereignty as part of this union. They don't somehow lose their sovereignty simply they joined this union. So the subscription clause, which is at the very conclusion of the Constitution, is a very, very important clause. Done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present. Of course, Rhode Island wasn't present, so they needed to mention that. The majority of each of the delegates from each state voted to ratify, so that all 12 states ratified the convention. However, there were three individual delegates who chose not to sign: Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts, Edmund Randolph of Virginia, and George Mason of Virginia, even though their state voted and ultimately ratified the Constitution. And then this very important phrase that closes our Constitution: in the year of our Lord, 1787. This phrase is extremely important because it answers the lie that has been propounded among most people today that our Constitution is not a Christian document, that it has nothing to do with Christianity, it's not founded on Christianity, and has no connection with Christianity whatsoever. Now, of course, we know from our talks together that that's a lie, because the Constitution was an application of the principles expounded upon in the Declaration of Independence. So the Declaration, in a sense, describes the why of government, the purpose for which government exists, the philosophy of government of our founders, and then, of course, the Constitution sort of is the nuts and bolts, the how. How is those things going to be actually put into motion?
David, could you reread that last sentence about the year of our Lord, and then what didn't it say, and 11 years from the date of our founding?
Yes, it does.
Because the next sentence after that year of our Lord phrase really is the key to tying the Constitution to the Declaration of Independence.
So it says, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present, the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 12th.
That is the key, you see. And 12 years after the independence of America, taking us back to the Declaration of Independence, because everybody there at the Constitutional Convention knew that the Constitution was founded on the principles set forth in the Declaration. And you see, if that's really true, then it holds this concept that all men were created equal and endowed by the Creator, and there was a God, which everybody knew at that time, and which, of course, has been removed from our textbooks and removed from our universities. Why? Because there is a conspiracy against God, and they know. They know that if they can destroy the religious foundation of America, then they can destroy America.
And I've had a debate actually a year ago with a history professor, and he was loath to talk about the Declaration. And he claimed that there was an entire mental intellectual revolution that took place between the time of the Declaration, 12 years later, the time of the Constitution. That the Constitution was a secular document, and that the Declaration, yeah, it had some religious tones to it, but it was nothing like that. And I argued with him from this exact phrase that he was wrong, and he would not back down. He would not accept what was plainly the text here, because obviously he has an agenda. As you say, Dr. Stan, they want to write God out of the picture, because if they can do that, then they can assert whatever immoral value system they want to place upon our land and basically destroy the Christian foundations, such that your rights are no longer secure. You know, an atheist, if they really understood these principles, would stand up in support for what the Declaration says, even if they didn't personally believe it. Why? Because if there is no absolute standard of right and wrong, if there is no set of values that this is murder is wrong and stealing is wrong, so nobody's rights are secure. If it's whatever the legislature decides or whatever some black-robed lawyer decides is right and wrong, none of us have any security. Talk to the people up in New London, Connecticut. They had their property stolen from them by a black-robed lawyer. And if there isn't any absolute standard that says stealing is wrong, well, then the most powerful person in a society is going to steal everybody else's property. You don't have any security to your property. You don't have any security for your life, let alone for your liberty. So our founders knew that if you fudge on the absolute standard, God's law, laws of nature, nature's God, if you get squishy on that, everybody loses, including those who don't believe in God and those who really don't worship Jesus Christ. The other aspect of this subscription clause, as it's called, is that they refer the date of the start of this Constitution is 1,787 years. From what? From the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They dated the start of our country, as well as the start of Constitution's enactment, from the birth of Jesus Christ as Lord.
And the year of our Lord, right.
Yeah, many people would say, well, that doesn't matter because it's just a toss-off phrase to date it. No, and as you said, it's the year of our Lord, not just Jesus Christ as a figure in history and we date it from them. No, it's our Lord. They were entering a covenantal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with we the people.
And, you know, I think it's so interesting that when they had the French Revolution, you know, which of course was aimed at destroying the existing structure of government and the Catholic Church, they created a new calendar, and they dated it from the date of the French Revolution. I mean, if you look at the Jewish calendar, it goes back 6,000 years. If you look at the Masonic calendar, it goes back 6,000 years. And the people want to say this was primarily a Masonic nation, then why, of course, did they date, the signing of the Constitution to the year of our Lord, 1787. So, you know, everybody at that time understood that this was a Christian nation. There was no question. Matters dealing with religion, however, to be determined by the states, not by the federal government. That's really what's so important.
That's right, and the federal government was designed to be very limited in its powers, restricted in its powers, as Federalist Paper 54 says, but the states were to have wide-ranging powers. As sure. You said often that the protection of life, liberty, and property were primarily the responsibility of the states, not of the federal government. The federal government was just designed to do a certain set of functions that the individual states could not do on their own or could not do effectively on their own, such as defense, raising an army and a navy, and things like that, that were better handled at a federal level than a state level. But, of course, in our mind, because, you know, we have so perverted and drifted from the design of our founders, in our mind today, The federal government is the one that does all this protection of life, liberty, property, and the state governments are, you know, mere political subdivisions, really, of the federal government and have virtually no sovereign powers of their own.
We'll be back in just a moment here with David Whitney. Here at the American Freedom Network.
Something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval, with a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133, 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
This is Michael at KHNC Radio, and I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. You know, those little things around the house, the yard, even the car, they can pile up and we can all fall behind. That's where Andy's comes in. They can help you with remodeling, plumbing, decks, floor tile, auto and home upholstery, woodworking, drywall, and painting, and so much more. Andy's done a lot of work for us here at the radio station and at home, so we can highly recommend them. That's Andy's Painting and Handyman Services at 815 37th Avenue Court in Greeley. You can call them at 970-576-5333. That's 970-576-5333. Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. Tell them KHNC sent you. And thanks.
I'm Ann Johnson, owner of Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mental alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. Before we go on, I want you out there in the listening audience to know how to get in touch with Pastor Whitney, because the most important thing you can do right now is begin to teach others about our wonderful Constitution. You see, the enemy, those people who control Washington, D.C., know we live in a land of law. Now, they've modified these laws, they've changed the laws, they've tried to convince us that the Constitution is outmoded and is a living, breathing institution, and they can change it or ignore it, but in their heart of hearts, they know that if the American people ever understood what they're doing, these people would be tried for treason and many of them would be executed. So they realize that we still have at least a framework of law here. And the important thing is that the American people reclaim our Constitution. And you can't reclaim something you don't understand. So it's so important that you get the information from the Institute of the Constitution, that you set up study groups in your home, in your church, in your club, and that you take the responsibility for trying to reestablish a nation of law based upon the Constitution. But first of all, we have to learn about it. How can people get in touch with your organization and learn about the Institute?
Well, we have a toll-free number where people can call and order what we call our host kit, which is a simple way that anyone without any background in law or history can communicate these truths to their friends, family, fellow church members by DVD or VHS. 12 lectures that Dr. Eismo gives, 2 lectures that David Barton gives, and a student notebook that gives an outline, a detailed outline of each of the lectures, as well as test questions. And the host receives a host manual that gives them all the answers to the test questions, gives them a detailed set of instructions as to how to put a class on, how to introduce each of the lectures, so that it's very turnkey. It's all prepared for you, and you just set up and gather a group of people. And we're encouraged because churches all over the country are doing this, training their people to be Christian citizens by understanding what our founders said, understanding what the Bible teaches about law and government. And they can call us toll-free and order their host kit by calling 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or if they want to order it on the web, we have a web store and actually a brand new updated website. Our website is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. And we encourage people to go get a host kit for yourself, for your family. Teach it to your family, then expand beyond that. If you go to church, ask to be able to put a class on for your church to help train Christian citizens as to what their duties and responsibilities are. And you can't fulfill your duty and responsibility as a Christian unless you know the Constitution, because that's the standard you are to use to measure who is a fit candidate and who is an unfit candidate. Do they abide by the Constitution? Do the decisions they make and the things that they legislate, are those constitutional? You won't know that unless you know the Constitution. So you really cannot fulfill your Christian duty as a citizen without knowing the Constitution. And we're encouraged, as people all over the country are hosting classes this fall. It's a good time to start, because now is the time when many people are looking at sort of an adult education routine, or many homeschoolers are using this as a way in which to train their homeschool students in civics. Well,
it's exciting when people really begin to understand our heritage and the wonderful history of America. And, you know, if the people of this country don't care about our heritage and about our past, then we're going to lose this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so vitally important that if you're out there in the listening audience, you get this. And I will tell you, it's one of the most exciting things to really understand our history, understand our laws, and understand that we have people in Washington, D.C. who hate America, who are dedicated to the destruction of our sovereignty and merging us with Mexico and Canada. And these people, there's only one word to describe them. They are traitors to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the story there.
Well, going back to that subscription clause, one more comment on it before we move on to the next section. And that is this. The biblical understanding of what our founders was doing is found in 2 Chronicles. And verse 16 of chapter 26 says, "And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people." So here's what our founders were doing, a three-way covenant. And of course, in that day, it was between the king and the people, and between the king and between God and the people. A triangle, in a sense, of covenants. But the important thing to understand is our founders were entering a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. They, as representatives of we the people, were having the people enter into this covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people would enter a covenant with those whom they elected to office, because they appointed them to represent them in fulfilling this covenant, and the office holders themselves would enter a specific covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why every office holder is required to take an oath. Who is an oath made to? It's made to God. And this is a solemn vow made before Almighty God that you're going to fulfill the promises that you make. So if you understand the biblical perspective, it's very clear what this Constitution is. It's actually a covenant, like the covenant that the priest Jehoiada made between the king and God between the people and the king and between the people and God, that the people should be the Lord's people. With that perspective, we have so far drifted from that that you almost can't talk to anyone these days without hearing the lie, separation of church and state. Oh, Christianity's not to have anything to do with our government. Well, that's the exact opposite of what our founders said. What they didn't want was a national denomination, Christian denomination, such as England had, the Church of England. That's all they were preventing. And we'll go on and look at that in a few moments as we begin to look at the Bill of Rights. But they specifically were saying this is based on Christianity, and it is a Christian covenant that we were entering into as we ratify this Constitution. Well, when we look at the debates about ratifying the Constitution, which took place in all 13 states, many of those who objected to ratifying the Constitution objected because there was not a Bill of Rights. That is, there was no set security that says religious freedom is going to be guaranteed. The right to bear arms is going to be guaranteed. There was none of those statements made in the original Constitution. And so many of those who are called the anti-federalists, opposing the Constitution, said they would approve of the Constitution if it came with a Bill of Rights. And so a promise was made that the very first thing to be done by Congress would be to propose a Bill of Rights to be ratified, and that this Bill of Rights would be an amendment to the Constitution. And so many of the states proposed a whole series of different Bill of Rights, and these were compiled together and worked into actually 12, 10 of which were voted on and passed and ratified. Another two, we'll discuss those other two later, but let's begin walking through the idea of a Bill of Rights to begin with. Historically, Englishmen thought it necessary to reassert their ancient rights. It goes all the way back to Magna Carta, the time when King John, acting as a tyrant, was confronted by the barons of England, representing the people, saying, no, you cannot do this. We as Englishmen have rights that you, the king, must recognize.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
This is Michael Golden, and I'm pleased to announce the release of my new CD, Mikamut HaKodeshi, Holy Places. Holy Places is a collection of some of my favorite praise and worship songs. It's available now at the American Freedom Network for only $15 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 to order your copy of Holy Places.
Years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stanback here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning for the last segment of our program, Pastor David Whitney, talking about our miraculous Constitution, which is the very bulwark of our freedom. Pick up the story there, David.
Well, the Bill of Rights was actually, the Bill of Rights for our country actually went all the way back to the idea of the Englishman's Bill of Rights, which started with the Magna Carta and later was reasserted again in 1689 during the Glorious Revolution, that we as Englishmen have true, ancient, and indubitable rights and liberties as people. And, of course, those all come back to the law of God. The law of God, law of nature, nature's God, given to us in the Bible, that gives us what our rights are. You have a right to own property because the commandment says, the eighth commandment says, thou shalt not steal. Obviously, you can't steal something if you don't own it. So the right to own property is part of God's law. And all of our rights ultimately come from God's law. And the king, as King John and the Magna Carta situation showed, that the king has no right to violate the God-given rights of the people. Of course, that was the whole argument of the Declaration of Independence. The King, George III, here has violated the rights, God-given rights, of we the people, and we the people are reasserting our rights as Englishmen. And so that's what the Bill of Rights was all about. Now, there was objections to having a Bill of Rights. James Madison, the father of our Constitution, said, you know, a Bill of Rights is not necessary at all because the federal government only has limited and delegated powers. There's only very few things that the federal government can do. And so there's no need to prohibit the federal government from doing what the federal government has no authority to do anyway. So his argument from silence makes sense, but when you know human nature, you know what happens. People push the limits wherever they can, and so I agree with those who said we really do need a Bill of Rights. Alexander Hamilton also said, you know, a Bill of Rights could be dangerous because if you sat down one night and said, I'm going to list all of my rights, you couldn't possibly remember and think of all of them, and a future government might conclude that rights you have not listed were rights that you have forfeited to the government. So rights, Hamilton was arguing, are better protected by relying upon established English and American common law than having a Bill of Rights. Well, those arguments failed, and I think for good reason. Most people know that when you give power to someone, it's a very dangerous thing to grant them power, and you'd better guard that and protect yourselves from the power grant that you are giving. And so you could see the Bill of Rights, in a sense, as a wall, a high, thick, and it should be an impregnable wall that was designed to surround the powers granted to our federal government.
Yes, but of course, when the Masons took control of our Supreme Court, then they tied the First Amendment to the 14th Amendment, which was never supposed to be, to say that if the federal government could say nothing about religion, then the state government couldn't and the schools couldn't, and that's how they got God and prayer out of our schools, because they want to destroy the Christian foundation of our nation, this conspiracy against God at the highest levels of our government. And to this very day, the Supreme Court opens when the crier comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. And yet that honorable court has taken God and mention of God out of our schools. How could that be? Well, you have to understand that if they can destroy the religious foundation of this nation, they can destroy this nation. That's what it's all about. It's all about a new world order, a new world religion. And when you understand that, and of course nobody's going to tell you that, why, then you can begin to understand what's going on, and you understand how important it is to get back to a foundational understanding of what our founding fathers said and why those Supreme Court justices wanted to undermine the Christian foundation of this nation.
That's right. Well, there were some very important voices, patriots, who spoke against the Constitution without a Bill of Rights, because, you know, the Constitution grants certain powers to the government, and so it says what the federal government can do. The Bill of Rights, in a sense, says this is the limit. The federal government cannot do these things. So you could see the two. One says, here's what they can do, the seven articles of the Constitution. Bill of Rights, here's what they cannot do.
And the whole idea was to put chains on the federal government.
That's right.
As Thomas Jefferson said so well, let's take the chains off the people and put those chains on the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, they've taken the chains off of government, and they're preparing them for the people.
That's right. It's interesting you mentioned Thomas Jefferson. He was not in the country when the Constitution was ratified, and so He didn't actually participate in any of it, but he saw a copy there in France, and when he read it, he said that he regretted that there was not a Bill of Rights. He thought it was lacking a Bill of Rights. Patrick Henry, the great patriot hero, he decried a lack of Bill of Rights. George Mason, likewise, and many of those who came to support the Constitution said the Constitution must have a Bill of Rights if we're going to ratify it. And actually, when the state ratifying conventions met, they proposed 350 amendments that would form a Bill of Rights. Of course, many of these were duplicates with one another. James Madison worked those down to 12 specific amendments and introduced them in Congress the following year, 1789, so just after 2 years after the ratification of the Constitution began. And then the congressional committees reworked those amendments, passed them. Only three-quarters of the states ratified the first 10 amendments by 1791, and so they became known as the Bill of Rights. It's interesting, the 11th Amendment, which dealt with congressional reapportionment, was never ratified. It's never been ratified to this day. But the 12th Amendment, which deals with congressional pay raises, didn't receive much initial support. But in recent years, there's been a great deal of interest in this amendment, and it was finally ratified by three-quarters of the states in 1993, and today it's known as the 27th Amendment. We'll look at it in detail when we get to that, but it's interesting that many years transpired before that 12th proposed amendment back there in 1789 was finally ratified. Each of these 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, each of them limits federal power, and you're going to see as we walk through the subsequent amendments following the Bill of Rights, most of the subsequent 17 amendments actually expand federal power. So the design of the first 10 was to limit it. But we have drifted much from the anchor established by our founders, and the result is that the subsequent 17, most of them expand federal power, and again, against the design of our founders.
Well, we're out of time, David. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr.
We look forward to having you with us again.
God bless your work.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy our interviews with Pastor David Whitney every month, and I hope you'll give serious consideration to doing something to save this country. Now, I do want to mention that we're having our annual conference, our Radio Liberty Conference. It's going to be on the 19th of October, probably on the 29th of October, which is a is actually a Sunday that we couldn't get the conference room for Saturday, and so we're going to have it on a Sunday. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have Constance Cumby there and Chris Pinto, who put out the film The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and other excellent speakers. We do hope that you're going to be able to come. Again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have to have reservations. You know, we can be serving lunch. And anyway, if you've been to a conference in the past, you know it's excellent. We do hope that some of you can come on the 29th of October. And if you've never heard Constance or Chris, why, they're great speakers. So give us a call, make your reservation, so we'll have an idea how many people are going to be there. And then, of course, to really understand what's going on, why they want to take us into a war with Iran, you really need to get our talk on Iraq, the untold story. Iraq was simply a stepping stone to expansion of the war in the Middle East. It had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. We've been lied to, we've been deceived at every turn. And, of course, the whole idea is to take us into World War III, which will ultimately bankrupt and destroy this nation. Why would anybody do that? Because they have a different loyalty. The only way we're going to avert this is for people to understand the background. Iraq, the Untold Story, is a talk we gave, but it's not just about Iraq, it's about all of the wars. And there's a wonderful syllabus there, and you'll actually see the documentation of how we were manipulated into World War II while American corporations were financing the Nazi war movement. How we dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki after the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 or 7 months, and we wouldn't let them. And all those people were incinerated for nothing, and somebody or some force is responsible. And, of course, you really need to know the background of the past wars to understand what is going on today. As we're being told, oh, we've got to go to war with Iran. They may be able to develop nuclear weapons within a few months or a few weeks or a few days. There's no time to waste. We've got to attack them now. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you understand? We're being manipulated. And I talked to a good friend last night who told me we were going to have to destroy the Muslim world and take him back to the Middle Ages. He's a good man, but he's subject to the propaganda that's being put out today, and we're being conditioned to go to war to kill more people. But believe me, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And if you're not standing up now and getting the truth out about Afghanistan, about Iraq, but really about what happened on September 11th, of 2001. You need to get our material on that. This whole thing was contrived. There were military exercises that morning. The fighter planes that should have been guarding Washington, D.C. and New York City had been sent to Gander and had been sent overseas in military exercises. All the military exercises were held that morning, and even Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton admit that the military lied about what happened at the 9-1-1 Commission hearing. You need to get our pamphlets on. Well, there's so much more that you need to get. Anyway, pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the American Freedom Network, now on the World Wide Web at www.americanewsnet.com.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
You're listening.